The first prison I will be talking about will be Alcatraz. It has been around since July 1st, 1934. The average population said by the Alcatraz historic website states that the population was only about 260 to 275 prisoners. However, the capacity was 360 and it was never reached that. Now, of the famous inmates, Alcatraz had many of them. I'll tell more about three of them that you may or may not know. The first one is Al Capone, who many know as the person who committed the Valentine Day Massacre. He was a drug lord during the Prohibition era, and pretty infamous for his drug dealings, gang warfare, mob mentality, killing many, and is one very known criminal. Another one is George Machine Gun Kelly, who was also a mobster around the same time as Al Capone. He was also a gang member, mob boss, and the reason they call him George Machine Gun Kelly is because his favorite weapon to use in any situation was a machine gun. And also another famous person that used to go there, well, was an inmate there, was Roy Gardner. He was a bank robber and a thief, stole from a lot of people. Next topic we're going to be talking about is their daily routine. The things that they did from the moment they woke up to the day they went back to bed. So usually, according to the AlcatrazHistory.com, they say that they woke up, well, morning whistle was around 6:30, and prisoners rose, make their beds, place all their stuff on shelves, clean, wash toilets, wipe off bars, sweep cell floor, little table, basically just clean up the room. Around 7, that's when the third whistle comes in, and that's when they all line up, turn their backs to the walls, and their cell is searched. After that, they're allowed to move out from out the cell, stand outside, and face forward until the prisoner's done searching them as well. Then from there, they set the prisoners up into two lines, and from there they take them to the mess hall, where they eat. They get knives, forks, and spoons on the trays. The knives at the left, the fork is on the center, and the spoon is on the right side of the tray. They then sit with their hands down on their seats, at their sides. After all the men have finished eating, a guard walks to each table and sees that all the utensils are in a proper place. He then returns to his assigned position. Around 7:25, guards on their duties move out in the following order through the gates. They do the laundry, the tailor shop, the cobbler shop, the model shop, and other shops, gardening and labor details. At 9:30 a.m., they are allowed to have a rest period. They're allowed to go out, smoke, do what they so please, as long as they're not in a huge crowd and all together. Around 11:30, prisoners stop working and assemble in front of the shops. The count is taken by the foreman or the guard. The foreman phones in and counts and signs the count slip, turning over to the guard, who proceeds with the detail to rear gate and checks his detail with the rear gate guard. They were allowed to, basically that was most of their day. They had a lot of free time. They worked their own jobs and every now and then got a break for about 15 minutes to go smoke, do as they so please. But they went back to bed at around 9 o'clock, or at least they were at least in their cells by 9 o'clock. And by 9:30, they had lights out, and then guards take their daily routes around the prison, searching around, making sure everything is in order, making sure nothing's out of place, and making sure everyone's asleep. Now, what really made Alcatraz famous was It was known as the inescapable prison. There had been many attempts to escape. In fact, there were 36 people in total that have tried to escape, 14 attempts. They were using groups of pairs, and none of them had ever gotten out from the walls, except for one trio. And they became infamous because no one had ever done it before, no one ever imagined it, and it was the first escape to ever be successful. But what made it even more infamous was the fact that nobody knows what happened to them. Everyone knows that they got out of the prison. They definitely escaped Alcatraz, but nobody knows what happened to them after. There are many theories as to what happened. Many believe that, yes, they got out from the prison. They swam about a mile to another island where they could have gotten boats to the shore. Many believe that they were able to do that, despite that being a very, with many tides, many waves, and a lot to swim by, especially there's sharks, other sea animals that could get in their way. However, most believe that they did get to there and may or may not have got a boat despite the horrendous conditions. But what most people don't know is whether or not they lived to see another day or if they died on the way there. No one has ever seen their bodies, no one knows what happened to them. They could be dead, they could be living their life right now, nobody knows. But what made it so impressive was how they did it. It took months of planning, and the three people that were in this were John Engel, Clarence Engel, and Frantz Morris. How they did it was they placed real-life looking dummies in their beds. They were fully built dummies. They even had hair, real hair, not fake, real hair, and heads that looked just like people. And they spent months crawling out ventilation systems in their rooms, well, in a room specifically, to cut through it and escape using that. They tricked the night guards, because they did it at night. They were able to trick the night guards, but the night guards could not see them. They saw the dummies, and they believed that it was the person that they were looking for. And so they sent the whole prison into lockdown. And they went on an intensive search to find them. The plotters used the air vents on the back of their cells, painfully drilling close these space holes around the cover so the entire section of the wall could be removed. Once through, they hid holes with whatever they could, a suitcase, a piece of cardboard, etc. And it was believed that that the fall was too high, so they climbed pipes to go to the top. From there, they believe they climbed pipes down to the ocean, and swam about a mile to shore, where they believe they got boats to go back to the main island. Now, also according to the Alcatraz History website, a total of 13 official counts are made each 24 hours. In addition, Shop 4 on makes 6 verification counts. Sunday and holiday routines require their own schedules, with time reserved for showers, haircuts, clothing changes, and recreation. As for shaving, the prisoners were required to remove their whiskers 3 times a week. So basically, they were pampered, kind of. They at least got basic needs, haircuts, showers, clothing changes, and recreation. So they were able to change clothes. Basically, there were harsh conditions there, but they at least got to get some of their basic needs taken care of. The prison fights, the most famous one was the Battle of Alcatraz, which lasted 2 days as a result of a failed prison attempt. 2 guards were killed along with 3 inmates. The next prison I will be talking about is the San Quentin. It is mainly famous for holding some of the most infamous prisoners on the planet. Two of those inmates you may or may not know is Charles Manson and William Bonney. We all know Charles Manson. He was pretty infamous. There's not a lot of people that don't know who he is. He was a cult leader. Him and his quote-unquote family decided to murder an actress and basically used to make vile acts. He really didn't. He helped kill the actress, but his family admitted most of the killing. But he was a cult, and he's mainly known for, besides all that, he's also known for his antics in the courtroom and on other people, his interviews where he calls himself God, where he believes that he is better and bigger than anyone and everyone else that is before him, and that everyone should look up to him as the righteous and the God. And William Bonin is also a killer. He is a serial killer and twice paroled sex offender. He is also known as the freeway killer, who committed rape and torture, and not to mention murder of, as they believe, a minimum of 21 boys, and there still may be more. The San Quentin is a pretty old prison. It has been around since 1852, making it a pretty old prison, over 100 years. Actually, over 150 years, but 165-ish years. So it's been around for a very long time, and its max capacity is 3,082 people. But the population of the prison was about 3,774, which is 122%. It's 22% over the max. As I iterated before, the San Quentin was mainly known for the prisoners that it had. These weren't just your average killers, your average cult leaders. No, these were some of the bigger, badder men in that category. Charles Manson, as I said earlier before, was in there. Everyone knows who he is. He's pretty infamous. Not to mention William Bonney. Like I said before, it's also infamous. 21 different counts of rape, torture, and murder. It's not taken lightly. So people there tend to be, in the best case scenario, the best way to put it would be bloodthirsty. They don't mind killing. Or in Charles Manson's point of view, setting them free, saving them, because he is the righteous God. There are many fights that occur in the prison, and one of those fights was a gang-related violence. And basically, it was a gang of basically all white people versus the gang of basically all Hispanics and Latinos. And when that happened, 42 people were injured, and three were hospitalized severely. Now I'm going to talk about San Quentin's daily routine. It usually starts around 5:30, and that's when breakfast is. And all of this will be coming through the voice of a prison inmate. And so, like I said, 5:30 is when you get breakfast, aka chow time. And usually, most guys didn't like it because the breakfast was horrible, so usually they just skipped it and slept until about 6:30, because it was about an hour to do as you so please. And then from 6:30 to 7:15, you have morning prayer and devotion reading. 7:15 to 8, breakfast, usually in your cell, and then you prepare for work. Usually, according to this guy, the breakfast usually consists of a bowl of oatmeal or a Danish and a cup of coffee, all of which are sold from the prison's commissary, aka the inmate canteen. Then from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., work. This guy worked as a prisoner's general maintenance shop, as a metal fabricator, wielder. He made 32 cents an hour. And then from 2 to 3, it was shower time. Or you can go and get something to eat, and then you prepare for either a self-helping group or a college class. Then from 3 to 5, you get a self-help group, a college class, which you can get help for something you did wrong and try to fix yourself. Or you go to a college class to further your education, depending on your sentencing and whether you can get out or not. Then from 8 to 9, you get to socialize with friends or use the prison phone to talk to loved ones, as this guy says that he would usually just go talk on the phone to one of his loved ones. And then from 9, all inmates were locked in their cells or dorms until breakfast. There was no lights out policy. And from 9 to 11, you can basically watch TV, listen to music, write a letter, fix something to eat. 11 p.m. through 12:30, homework, including playwriting for chapel or sleep. Next, I'll be talking about Sing Sing, which was a prison in New York, just as Rikers Island. Its famous inmates were Willie Sutton, who is an American bank robber, and he was committing robberies for 40 years. He stole an estimated $2 million and spent more than half of his adult life in prison and escaped 3 times. While at the same time, they also held Albert Fisher, who is known as a serial killer, also known as one of the first ever serial killers. He's known as the Grand Man, the Wolf of Wisteria, the Brooklyn Vampire, the Moon Maniac, and the Boogeyman. The Sing Sing opened its doors in 1826, which makes it the oldest prison we've talked about so far, and pretty old prison just in general. The thing about Sing Sing was that it had a lot of changes for 20th century for its prisoners. It became the first prison to allow freedom of the yard to inmates and introduction of baseball and other recreation. For many years, the New York Yankees visited the jail to play an expedition game against the inmates. In the first half of the 21st century, knock checkpoints include cell blocks, a chapel, an administration building, storehouse, mess hall, bathhouse, and barbershop. Inmates also had access to library and classrooms. Warden Lewis E. Lawless allowed a former New York City newspaper editor convicted of murder to build a large birdhouse within the prison grounds. And this is all coming from the Sing Sing Prison Museum.
Alexis, what are you doing?
It states all of this. The Sing Sing opened its doors in 1826, which makes it the oldest prison we've talked about so far, and pretty old prison just in general. The thing about Sing Sing was that it had a lot of changes for 20th century for its prisoners. It became the first prison to allow freedom of the yard to inmates and introduction of baseball and other recreation. For many years, the New York Yankees visited the jail to play an expedition game against the inmates. In the first half of the 21st century, knock checkpoints include cell blocks, a chapel, an administration building, storehouse, mess hall, bathhouse, and barbershop. Inmates also had access to library and classrooms. Warden Lewis E. Lawless, a former New York City newspaper editor, convicted of murder to build a large birdhouse within the prison grounds. And this is all coming from the Sing Sing Prison Museum.
Lux, what are you doing?
It states all of this. The best part about the Sing Sing Prison is that it was mainly created for the intention of good intentions. It was basically... it's basically trying to carve a new path in a sense of you want it to be different from the way that usual inmates were treated. It was basically the origins of a New York penitentiary. As I said before, the Sing Sing prison wanted to be different from any other prison. It wanted to question how we treated each other. Basically the way of who should go to prison, and how society should treat the people who perpetrate crime. And they're trying to make a museum of this place, and they want to ask these visitors these same questions. And interact opportunities to challenge them to consider what works best for civilized society. When the public thinks about prison, they associate it with punishment. So Sing Sing Superintendent Michael Cabara. When I think about prison, I associate it with structure, security, discipline, education, vacation, and families. They also want to inspire and reflect pop culture. From Alias Jimmy Valentine to Analyze This, Sing Sing has been immortalized in countless movies and shows. It is said that it was the background of many shows / movies in the 1920s and the 1990s. The greatest artists and athletes have been inspiration here, from Babe Ruth to Houdini, Walt Whitman to Andy Warhol, Bessie Smith to Bruce Springsteen, whose maternal grandfather served 3 years in Sing Sing from prison. The singer and his band performed here in 1922, sent from the Sing Sing Prison Museum. It also tells the story. I just want to tell the story about the iconic prison. They want to tell about the names and like members of the notorious Brooklyn Hitmen, the Hit Squad murder, were set up to from River to the electric chair, most notably gang boss Louis LePec Bolchopter, convicted killers Albert Fish, Bruce Snyder, Dave, son of Sam Britsk, and bank robber Willie Sutton, all did time at Sing Sing. And these names are very infamous from what the crimes that they did. Albert Fisher being, as I said before, being known as one of America's first serial killers. And Willie Sutton being one of the most notorious bank robbers of the time and even to this day. There was not that much info on what they did for daily activities. However, many believe that it was a very good institution that instead of trying to mold you and turn you into something society wants you to be, they tried to turn you into a better person, not the one that society wants you to be, but the one they believe that you can be or should be. They had punishments, yes, but they did allow freedoms. As I said before, they allowed you to go outside, have baseball games, have concerts there, even let movies film there to, you know, just because it was a famous prison. It was big. People liked to use it. The inmate population of Sing Sing was 1,730 men. 1,579 of them were in general confinement in a capacity to house 1,803 men. Thank you for listening to my podcast about three of the most historic and iconic prisons. I hope that today I was able to share some information with you that you did not know, and hopefully you got to know a little bit more about these prisons that you didn't already know, about how the most infamous prison escape from Alcatraz, down to some of the most hardened criminals like Charlie Manson at San Quentin, and someone like Albert Fisher, known to many as America's first serial killer and known as the Boogeyman. Hope I learned something new today. Thank you for listening.